Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously Fukushima-irradiated and fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, where fruit cocktails and little coconut fruit drinks are the norm in the streets when everybody wears their jandals, as well as having a part-time job as a mercury light bulb. And my very special guest is Max Bliss. Welcome to the program. Can you hear us, Max? You seem to be muted. Can't hear you, buddy. Got him right there. I can see you, but I can't hear you. AFR, is there any technical problems going on there, Max? Can you even hear me? Yeah, now I can. Yep.
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear, mate. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. For those of you who are unaware with your activities and work and whatnot, would you give us a brief explanation? Or a lengthy explanation? We have up to 2 hours.
Yeah. I'm a guy in the southwest of France, comes from England, and basically I raise the flag about chemtrails.
Ah, the probably the most important environmental issue, which nobody's heard about because they think it's good for the environment because it prevents climate change from happening.
Yeah, well, I guess it depends on your view of climate change or global warming, as they used to call it.
Well, wasn't it global cooling before that?
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't just start off with climate change. I mean, it's been happening for 4 billion years. I mean, it's a pretty safe bet that if you call it climate change, you won't have to rebrand it or remarket it again.
Yeah. Cycles, you know, like the earth goes hot, cold, you know, that's the way it works.
Yeah. There's a lot of variance. However, what's interesting about climate change nowadays is that in efforts to prevent it from happening, so I don't understand how you can prevent the climate from changing in the first place, but in an effort to prevent it from happening, their concept and goal is to spray everybody like frickin' cockroaches with incredibly toxic chemicals, and apparently that's going to save us.
Yeah, it's a good plan because they've been planning it for decades, so they know what they're doing now. We're in safe hands, you know, just nuclear scientists converted to geoengineering, and they think it's a great idea to block out the sun. Their examples they use are about volcanoes erupting, and they say that when volcanoes erupted, they blocked out the sun, it cooled the planet, and it was a good thing, and it was something they can replicate. And basically, this is the plan. One thing we do know is whenever in the past we've had volcanoes erupting, we can trace the date of the eruption by using something called dendrochronology, which is very simple. It's basically looking at tree rings. And the reason we can date the volcano erupting is because the tree ring around the volcano eruption is very, very fine because there was no growth. So the idea that copying this as an idea to block out the sun is good for the planet, you know, to me is very, very questionable because life will slow down.
See, that's what you call a tree ring circus.
Yeah, well, it's an insane idea, really. I don't think they're going to be able to greenwash it sufficiently to convince everybody, but they're having a good go.
This is the importance of programs like mine, and indeed the social media spectrum where you tend to operate a lot of the times. I've seen a number of your posts going out there. You're not messing around. You really are going for it in order to expose this particular vein of scumbaggery. And what I find very disheartening sometimes is the attitudes that you face and the... Have you ever argued with somebody who's arguing from a point of ignorance? You know that they don't know what they're talking about, but because they don't know what they're talking about, they don't know what they're talking about. You know what I'm saying? And how inherently frustrating that can be.
Yeah, quite often I do get opposition. And basically, I try to go, okay, have you seen this document? Have you seen this piece of research? Have you seen this in the sky? And they basically, of course, are they're operating on from a certain platform. They've got an agenda they're working to. And, you know, it is frustrating, but it sort of goes to the turf, I suppose. What can you do? You know, dude, there are people out there that basically don't want everyone to know about chemtrails.
Yeah. What's really strange is that you have the people doing the chemtrails, and they know about them, and they're doing them, yet they're not coming public about it and admitting it. So you've got to be suspicious as to why that is. And then you've got a whole bunch of other people who... In a way, contribute to the same agenda by denying that they even exist and maintain their ignorance by refusing to look at any evidence. So, in a way, it's like a pincher move against humanity. So they're spraying you from above, and they're denying they're spraying you from down below, and we get caught in the middle.
Yeah, it's... It's an interesting conundrum that's basically survives on denial. But I find the more we push the boundaries with very, very difficult evidence to deny, the more the establishment is starting to actually say, okay, if this is going on, why is it going on? And sort of, that's an example when I called up the Civil Aviation Authority in the UK when I thought I had a whistleblower contacting me, and I had a whistleblower that was sending me emails for over a month and started to get me convinced that this was genuine. So in response to this, I contacted the Civil Aviation Authority and asked them what would happen if I had a genuine whistleblower sharing with me intimate details about the chemtrail program. And surprisingly, the department I talked to, they had a chemtrail department even within the Civil Aviation Authority, which I thought was quite interesting, because for them to actually have a department to specifically to deal with chemtrails means it's not as minor an issue as some people might believe, and they obviously are prepared to deal with it. And the lady I talked to, I talked to her for 45 minutes perhaps. And rather than trying to shut me down, she was very curious. And she wanted to know as much information about it. And she was more curious, I feel, about why they might be doing it. She wasn't denying it was going on. But she didn't confirm it either. But I certainly get the feeling that the more we push into the establishment, we're gathering information all the time. We're trying our best to find information that is verifiable or at least plausible so that it can't just be chucked out, you know, with the water, with the baby, with the bathwater or something. this is real. And basically, I think that the more people move past the ridicule stage and go to the realism, the establishment starts, you know, they respond. At the end of the day, I don't believe everyone in the establishment is an inborn New World Order sort of a puppet. You know, I think most of them are pretty good people that are just in it for the career and sort of trying to do the best they can and probably have got great intentions. But if you start raising the flag sufficiently, they start going, hang on a minute, there's something going on. And
They get abruptly awakened when they realise that they're not climbing a corporate ladder at all. They're simply running on a corporate hamster wheel.
Oh yeah, they're slaves with more deceptions than we have.
Slaves with white collars.
Yeah, true.
Now, extraordinarily, they've got an actual chemtrail department now. For something that allegedly doesn't exist, do they also have a leprechaun department?
Yeah.
No? Because in Hamilton, New Zealand, they just took fluoride out and then they did a massive disinformation campaign with the Ministry of Health, spending about $43,000 to convince the public with a referendum to put it back in, and that's unfortunate. But they have an Agenda 21 office in the council, whilst at the same time claiming that that doesn't exist. So it gets to the point where the only way that you can deny chemtrails, deny Agenda 21, deny the New World Order, is if you refuse to look at all at the evidence. As soon as you get your curiosity piqued and you start processing, looking through, analysing, reading, viewing, listening, etc., boom, it becomes very real to you. The only reason why people deny it is because they are not curious. That curiosity, in a large part, has been, I would say, bred out of the human race to a large degree. Would you agree?
Oh, well, I would totally agree. Yes, absolutely. I mean, being a critical thinker, being an individual, stepping outside the group is uncomfortable for a lot of people because that's how we've been conditioned. You know, one time it was a good thing. But these days, you very much have to be a member of the pack and keep up with the Joneses, you know, follow what everyone else is doing. And that basically means you're not allowed to go outside of the comfort zone. And the comfort zone means just following the cues from the television and from the mass media and doing what you're told and not creating a stink. If you were a member of the union, one time, that was a good thing, you know. They fought long and hard and went through a lot of ordeals to give people rights in the workplace. But somehow, in the recent past, becoming a member of the union became a bad thing. So, you know, my example is people just have to follow the cues. They're not allowed to be individuals anymore, and unfortunately, being an individual these days means that you are speaking about the New World Order. You are waking up, you know, and you were talking about United Nations Agenda 21. I would suggest to anyone, just do some simple internet searches for sustainable development and in any nation on the planet. And you will be surprised. More importantly, if you cross-reference different nations for sustainable development, then you will gauge how massive the uptake of sustainable development and the United Nations Agenda 21 is. And it's frightening. It is global. It is rapidly being implemented and very swiftly taking away all our rights. You only have to look at the EU, and there's a shocking new law being proposed, a draft law about the regulation of seeds, which will mean people won't be able to grow food in their own garden without first registering the seeds and yourself as a grower. So, yeah, you know, it's basic right of providing food for yourself will become regulated.
That's why we've I've renamed them the European Union, because they're just pissing on you without the courtesy of calling it a chemtrail.
Yeah, exactly, of course. And, you know,
and incidentally, guess who's the head of the European Union? Herman Van Rompuy.
And who is this guy? Where did he come from? Who is this person?
Who are they? Nigel Farage speech against them, you know. You've got the sex appeal of a damp rag. There's something about sophisticated British accents insulting people that I find intensely amusing.
Yeah, I must admit, Nigel Farage is a bit of an expert in that field. He's very, very good.
Same with Lord Christopher Monckton as well. Like, you either see Nigel Farage or Lord Christopher Monckton laying into somebody and insulting them. It's intensely funny.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, totally.
All right, well, speaking of intensely funny, we've got an ad break coming, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back in just a few minutes, folks. Don't you go anywhere. Max Bliss is my guest. You can search for him on Facebook. Yeah, and no one like me. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, Rush FM 4 nights a week from 9 p.m. at rushfm.co.nz. Thank you to all of you listeners in Auckland, Tauranga, Taupo, and Raglan Coast, I believe, and now Mount Maunganui, and she lovely, and also Dags FM up in Whangarei, and the Ifinity FM network from Lower Hutt in Wellington through to Queenstown and Dunedin and Invercargill as well. We do like having New Zealand affiliates, because it is only through you that we are in fact capable of bringing out this truth to a New Zealand radio listening audience, because this is an American-based talk radio show. Yes, I know I'm a New Zealander, but the consequence of this is we've got to work together in order to expose the New World Order. And really, at the end of the day, America is where the central fight is being fought, because you've all still got guns to kill the motherfuckers if they ever try and take you over. Now, Max, you wanted to ask me a question, something about the audience or growing awareness or something?
Yeah, well, I wondered how you view things being on air much more. Do you feel that there is a growing awareness? You know, how do you gauge it?
You know what, you really can't. At the end of the day, I can only gauge the growth in my own popularity by looking at the amount of YouTube subscribers that I get, or views, or the Google Analytics that describe how many people come to my website. So I know that there's a growing awareness of my show, but in terms of growing awareness globally, it's quite difficult to assess, because you'd have to take an aggregate of all of the different truth websites. But those that I have seen, it is actually quite difficult to find a truth website that is going down in rankings on Alexa.com. So if you have a look at anyone who's producing alternative talk radio, alternative news, alternative videos, and just in general alternative media, it's on the up and the up and the up and the up, and it's breaking into mainstream consciousness. We have people from all walks of life in a very mainstream kind of way, politicians, even an admiral who used to control the Pacific Fleet from the United States, coming out speaking against the New World Order and what have you. So if you look at the aggregate, it appears that not only is this movement growing, but it's becoming an exponential growth pattern, which also makes it very dangerous, because I think we're dealing with a group of ruthless criminal psychopaths who aren't really in their right mind, And if they noticed a big movement starting to take over all of their various eclectic forms of scumbaggery, they might react much like a dog that's been cornered and bite us all.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen. You know, they've got the technology as, is it Snowden that exposed Prism, the NSA monitoring system that basically monitors every single human being on the planet that's using the internet. But at the same time, we get people like Hillary Clinton saying they're losing the information war, and we had people like Sibinel Brzezinski saying that at no other time has the public been aware to the geopolitical changes going on in the planet. Like, they know that we are waking up, and they might be cornered, and they might turn vicious. But at the same time, you know, it's a case of we are going to have our day. You know, I don't think the New World Order is insane, really. And as soon as your eyes are opened, you can never close them again. You know, you can't ignore it. So, you know.
That's not true. I don't think so, man. I've known a number of people who got involved in the movement, got involved heavily, then got disillusioned at the fact that they suddenly have to live without income and they have to rely on the kindness of other people. And these are like independent people with lots of skills and intellect and what have you. And they say, frack the truth movement, I'm going to be in it for myself. I know a number of friends of mine who have done that. It's very sad to see, but it does happen, and it just shows the power of the human mind. You can, if you want to, completely ignore reality, because my argument to those people is, what do you think? Do you think that you're going to somehow, I don't know, make some money and actually, I don't know, be able to live a nice, comfortable life while this entire apparatus is being set up around you? The New World Order is going to take everything from you at the end of the day. To stop fighting against it, knowing that it exists, is a form of insanity.
People have said to me before, hey, go to live in Uruguay, go to live in various different countries. And I say to them, listen, the planet is a very small place. There's nowhere to hide. You might think there's a safe haven right now, but once the plans start unfurling, basically those soft targets that are waiting in the wings that haven't been assimilated yet, then they will be the next hot target. So there is nowhere to run to, and it is a case of open your eyes, realize what's going on, take a stand. Because if you don't take a stand, then you're a willing victim. You know, you're accepting your servitude. You're embracing the slave system that is the United Nations Agenda 21. And for people who aren't really aware of what that means, there will be a scientific dictatorship installed. And in Europe, in the EU, in the European state, they're now all embracing a project called Horizon 2020. And this is a project where all the nation states are embracing this and are encouraging many different businesses and corporations to get involved. And it's about a technological revolution that will bring about the infrastructure necessary for this scientific dictatorship. And if you look on Horizon 2020 and you look to the stakeholder partners, some of the partners, and this is about smart growth zones and smart meters and everything else, you will find that there are companies openly talking about the New World Order. You know, this is it, depending on where you look, you will find that it's out in the open. They are confident.
Can I say, this is the reason why the New World Order is not a conspiracy? Because a conspiracy is a secret that's kept by people that you're fracking over. These people aren't keeping it secret at all. They're barely even making an effort. They're just not promoting it and putting it out there repeatedly in the mainstream media about it. But all the information's there, if you've got the curiosity, to motivate you to look.
Exactly. And this is the incredible thing. I can sympathise with newcomers to the chemtrail issue, who might be subdued by the contrail frequently answered questions sheet that you might get if you ask your politician what's going on in the skies. Because that's generally what happens. You'll get a frequently answered question, a prepared set of answers to your questions that basically says contrails are nothing more than condensation from aeroplanes when the hot exhaust hits the cold atmosphere at the right relative humidity. You will get a steam trail, basically like when you talk on a cold day. The interesting thing is, if you go to YouTube or something like that and you look at the Mount Everest videos of people that have been to the top of Mount Everest, and the reason I say Mount Everest is because it's the highest peak in the world and it's 10,000 meters, which is the average altitude that commercial airlines fly at. And what you will find is people are talking, saying how wonderful it is to be at the top of Mount Everest, and they don't have a single condensation breath coming out of their mouths. It's bloody freezing, but it's very low humidity. And basically, this is the scenario. To get contrail, you need discrete conditions. And the relative humidity must be above 60% at altitude at the really cold temperature, like minus 25 at minimum. So if you look to the old documents, which you can find online, you will find that military documents explain when you are likely to get a contrail or when you won't, because it was obviously very tactically important whether or not, if they were flying a sortie into the enemy territory, whether or not they would be flying with a great big signal to say, I'm here, shoot me down. And so a contrail isn't necessarily a given. It's not guaranteed all the time. Yet here in Europe, where they're doing the chemtrail program, it rarely a day goes by when we don't see what some people are now being asked to believe is a contrail. Because we're seeing chemtrails almost daily. It's phenomenal. And you only have to look at the skies, and it's a dramatic change. Where I live in the southwest of France, it's a particularly nice area. I'm very, very lucky. The climate is very kind. It's you have decent summers, you have all the four seasons, but where I live, there's no industry. It's very pure. It's a very nice region. We have supposedly high numbers of sunshine hours. I live in the Charente, which it rivals the Provence for sunshine hours. However, we've had the darkest winter and the darkest spring on record because of the extra cloud cover that's been caused by contrail cirrus, which is all due to chemtrails.
So is it true what the French say, that women are from Venus and men are from Mars?
That's very good, yeah. I don't know, actually. My lady's German, but I don't know. Yeah, no, I like that, yeah.
Yeah, I just thought I'd just stop that in there.
She's Bavarian, not German.
Oh, okay. Like a nice chocolate cake,
yeah. Yeah, she's Black Forest Ghetto, yeah.
I presume she's sweet. Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of which, now, if we've got all this extra cloud cover, and this is part of what geoengineers have actually publicly stated in meetings. This has been exposed by Michael Murphy, and I think this is what actually really kind of revitalized and really kicked off this agenda to expose chemtrails by the truth movement in general, is the admission of geoengineers that they want to spray millions upon millions of tons of particularized barium, strontium, and aluminium into the atmosphere. Now, if we are to take that as a concept, that's what they want to do, but at the same time they're denying it, whilst at the same time we see evidence that that's precisely what is going on, it leaves no wiggle room, unfortunately, for the general population left for denial. And yet people are still living in it. And it's true testament to the exorbitant quantity of mind control that is happening in the population. Now, I'm not talking about everybody was once part of MKUltra. I'm talking about general mind control. For example, entertaining you so that you've got distracted from thinking or researching, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could go one step further and say it's the flicker rate on television, and you get into an alpha wave state in your mind, so that when you're watching the news, the rolling news, you believe all the propaganda, you know, and maybe there's even subliminal messages in different frequencies. But generally, you know, people are so distracted these days with trivia, with absolute nonsense. You know, I stopped watching mainstream television many years ago, and I find that that is a current theme amongst people who wake up and who pursue exposing the truth. Mostly because you haven't got time to watch television anymore, but generally, you know it's rubbish. You can see through the dross. You know, it's total crap. You know, why watch television? I mean, maybe television was better years ago. I don't know if everyone always says that, but, you know, it's just total rubbish today. And I look at it, and I see people who watch television, and I'm shocked at how they zone in and they watch the rubbish, and it's like, wow, you're watching this shit. Yeah, it's unreal. And, you know, that's typical, isn't it? You know, just watch a child. You know, you've got some poor young family who haven't got time to spend the appropriate time rearing their children, and the easy option is to put a DVD on or to put TV channel on or whatever it is, child TV, and you watch the kid, the mouth drop open, and they just zombie out and watch TV. Well, you know what? Adults do that as well.
Yeah, which really scares me to a large degree. It means that human beings are not capable of interacting anymore, right? Because it used to be, and I watched a thing on DWTV, you know, Deutschland, the German channel, and they were doing a historical look at what life was like in Germany, and they had all these stories from these elderly people where they were all, the kids basically ruled the towns, these small little villages and hamlets, children practically ran them, because they were all over the streets, always together, always playing, running around and so on and so forth, always interacting with each other. Now, you don't see nothing on the streets. No kids, at least. They're all inside playing Xbox. There's no interaction, there's no creativity, there's no play. And I think what we're looking at here is a generation devoid of imagination and devoid of interaction with other real human beings. This is a very, very worrying trend to my mind. Anyway, we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. Max Bliss is my very special guest. Don't you go anywhere, folks. Welcome back, everybody. My very special guest is Max Bliss, broadcasting live for the European Union, where they piss on you without the courtesy of calling it chemtrails. I have to actually really adopt that as one of my regular little things to mention on this radio show, you know? I think that's quite clever. All right, anyway, enough about me. Max, I wanted to know, just, you know, did you at some point have some kind of promising career that somehow just disappeared as a result of coming out for the truth? Or were you once idealistic and then you realised that there's probably nothing to be idealistic about? How did this all start for you?
I guess the truth is, I think I was born asking why. So I've always led a life where I was questioning everything, but realistically, with the chemtrails thing, it's about 2 years ago. I was living in France and just seeing, you know, the ravaging of the skies. You know, it's looked in England, they've been cloud seeding and messing around with the rain for so often that they've convinced everyone that it's normal to be cloudy. So they can do anything they like behind the clouds. You know, the cloud blanket, you can't see anything. But in the southwest of France, where the weather is beautiful, you know, it stands out so much. I've only been living here about 3 years. And I think 2 years ago, they went to another stage. They increased what they were doing. So it stood out. And as far as working is concerned, I have to say that since I painted up my van, because I work as a builder, a lot of people don't want to employ me anymore. So I basically have met up with people that want me to price up work, and they go, no, sorry, this isn't going to work out, don't want to know, and they give me the big shoulder, simply because I'm speaking out.
So what do you mean? What did you paint on your van? Like a giant Illuminati all-seeing eye with a gun next to it or something? What?
Okay, you haven't seen a picture of my van yet. Okay, I've got quite a big panel van, and I've painted, apart from stopping chemtrails poison, like a big planet that's been sprayed on every side of it, a reverse picture on the bonnet so that when I'm driving up behind someone they can see it in the mirror. I've just now, over the last year, I've added to the van so that it looks like, I suppose, it's been described as one of those 1960s hippie vans where, you know, it's covered in information. It's literally, there is no more space left. You know, with information about NASA and the UN and references to trimethyl aluminium and barium strontium and you know, all the illnesses, HARP, ICECAT 3D, all the various ionospheric heaters that are used for this, and all the illnesses like asthma and thyroid problems and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease and multiple sclerosis and cancer. And, you know, I just want everyone to know that that all the different things, how they might affect people. And also put lots of different Facebook groups from around the world, because I belong to loads of different groups. Yeah. And, you know, people get a chance to realise this is a global concern.
I think that it definitely hamper your business interests. In fact, this is part of the conversation I was having with a guy, in fact, this morning. How do you get business involved in the truth movement without the business going under in favour of the truth? Because you need two things in order to fight against the New World Order. One is resources, the other is the will. Right, and if you ain't got the resources, it's very difficult to maintain the will.
Yeah, it's definitely a juggling balance, and we struggle. We really struggle. We're lucky; we don't have a mortgage to pay, but we still got all living costs, and
which are continuously going up and up.
Yeah, that's right. And because I was invited to do a talk in December last year, my first ever conference, which was very well received. And following that, I've done 10 talks. But, of course, it's in England. Now, you know, France is a big country. I've got to do quite often 1,000 miles there and 1,000 miles back in the van, which is not so bad going through customs, because I used to dread it, because I've been stopped by the police before and questioned and, you know, asked lots of private questions, in the sense that make you feel intimidated, like they're on to me. Now when I go through, I get stopped and they ask me loads of questions and go, great, go for it. Chemtrails are real. Yeah, we know about it. We've seen it on the internet. And, yeah, we know it's happening. And I'm glad you're speaking up. And I've had people's a customs guy keep me there 15 minutes with a big queue of people behind waiting to get through. He just wanted to know more and more information. And, you know, I have to say that I've had a lot of positive interactions with the police and with people in official capacity, because they are waking up.
Hey. Well, it's inevitable, isn't it, that if you're saturating society with information. That information, it's impossible for it to not start to take root. It's a question of whether or not it will start to outgrow the disinformation. That's what I'm looking forward to. At the time when those who know the truth and speak the truth are in the majority, so that those who know that they're lying and speak naught but lies get exposed every time they open their frickin' mouth. That is the future that I really want to see. And I want to see it as soon as possible.
It's coming. It's coming. It really is coming. I'm going to a geoengineering talk very soon where Professor David Keith is going to be speaking, and I will be looking for my opportunity to speak to him. I've been longing for this moment. I'm going to two different talks he's doing, so hopefully I'll get a chance at one or the other. But basically, it's getting to the point now. I do my best to contact people within the establishment in different ways. I've talked to the Forestry Commission. I've talked to organic soil organisations. I obviously talk to the police whenever the opportunity arises, not just when they want to talk to me. I go into the police stations to talk to them. I take every opportunity to contact different universities. Basically, I think it's even I've talked to people and they generally listen, but even if they don't want to take it on board and subscribe what I'm saying, I know that I've sowed a seed. I know that. And the more they're exposed to it, the more likely at a later stage they'll go, hang on, I can't continue what I'm doing. There's something to this. And I can assure you that a year ago when I was taking to the streets, handing out flyers to people, I would say a good 60% didn't want to talk to me, didn't want to know, don't want to know. When you do it now, they already know. They already know what's going on, and they're glad someone's doing something about it, and they take the flyers, and yeah, I'll look into it, and it's a massive change.
Yeah, well, if you can actually see that on the street, that's very encouraging, because that's something that we suffer from a lot in our movement, is different accusations. Oh, he's COINTELPRO, he's disinformation, etc., whatever. And it's like our own movement has this incredible divide and conquer sort of motif that actually gets people within the movement, despite the fact that we're being successful at exposing the truth, depressed and feel like giving up.
Well, I suppose the people who are running the New World Order know everything about mind control and every single aspect of it. And, of course, the more momentum we have, they will look for every single possible way to derail us. You know, and at the end of the day, there will be infiltrators, there will be COINTELPRO people, and the thing is, we have to expect that. We have to know that that's going to happen. We can't be derailed by their actions. And I think that basically, if you're legitimate and you're doing your best with good information, you've got a good platform to continue. You know, it's a solid rock. At the end of the day, you know, I've taken a lot of heat from the Metabunk crowd, you know, these debunking bloody idiots. You know, I really don't understand their motivation. If they were a legitimate organisation, why aren't they trying to expose what the governments are doing? You know, why aren't they debunking the frigging bullshit that the government are spewing out all the time? But they don't. You know, they're after us, and there's obviously an agenda there, and they've got a role to play. And their role is to discredit us and to dissuade us and to just try and derail us. But it's getting to the stage now where I certainly haven't got all the research I'd be content with. I'm learning stuff every day. But the dossier is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's getting ridiculous for them to debunk us now.
Yeah, it is actually. It's kind of like I used an analogy the other day. You remember when you were a kid and, I don't know, you wanted to try and hit somebody or something like that, but you're so small and you've got such little arms that if you're trying to go after an adult, what they do is they just put their hand on your head and hold you back, and then you're just swinging in the air. You can't actually hit anything. You can't actually do anything. That's not entirely dissimilar from the way these people argue at you. They can't touch you because they've got nothing but BS. They've got nothing to back up what they're thinking, what they're saying, what they're doing. And we have all the power. We have all the strength, all the reach, all the research, all of the possibility that can actually make this entire phenomenon of chemtrails be totally exposed in a documented fashion. And these people are really upset by that because, hey, what's worse? What's worse, honestly, than realizing that you've been lied to? I'll tell you what, realizing that you've been lied to and doing nothing to tell the truth and try and correct that situation, that's what's worse. We'll be right back after the break. The Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Max Bliss is my guest.
Alert the masses.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And my very special guest is Max Bliss from the, what was it, the southwest of France?
Yes, the beautiful Charente.
The beautiful Charente. Uh-huh. You know, I've always got this idea of the French Resistance, you know, and it's always been a greater idea, vive la résistance. And what I find interesting is that there's this spirit of resistance within the entirety of the human race. They're starting to become awakened, which is really quite frustrating for the people who don't want us to think, don't want us to be independent. You know what I'm saying? And it's almost like we're just rubbing it in now. You know, like we've already won. We're just going through the motions.
Well, I don't think we're that ready. But talking of France and the French Resistance, the Charente actually is a region where there was a massive resistance fighting going on, because this is part of the demarcation zone. It was a very, very guerrilla warfare area. This is where it was happening. But the French had just had a recent victory over their government, because the government wanted to bring in an eco-tax, which was designed to tax LKV, or heavy goods vehicle trucks. So all the trucks delivering food to supermarkets and whatever, they were going to be taxed heavily, which would mean a knock-on effect for everyone's cost of living. So what the French have done was set fire to all the machines that would be registering the tax, a bit like speed camera type things. And they basically were relentless, and the government have capitulated and said, okay, we won't do the eco-tax. So it proves that if people object, you know, we're ruled by consent. And if you do not give your consent, because silence is compliance, if you say nothing, they take that as you consent. So you have to stand up and you have to do something. So this is the thing. We can't rest on our laurels right now. We are making a difference, and we are getting the ball rolling. But, you know, we still need to keep the momentum going, and we really need to get the pace up. Because for me,
wrong, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's we can't just stop at chemtrails. I mean, for me, if I look at chemtrails, I think, well, I now know that this is an intergovernmental program. That means your sovereignty's gone. It means, you know, we are living in the New World Order already. There is already a one world government. You know, we weren't allowed, we didn't even know about it. There was no consultation, there was no vote, there was nothing. It's just going on. It's been going for years. So if people start to wake up that governments are capable of spraying toxins into our environment without our consultation, possibly to the point where there's a saturation, a tipping point in the environment where crops will start to fail and the alternative is GMOs, which they've done mature studies. They are prepared. They already have. Not just crops, they've got trees, they've got all sorts of plants prepared with the resistant GMOs ready to react to the problem that's going to be created by this toxic tipping point. So we can look at that. We can find the evidence that there's a mature study into these problems and there are solutions in place. So we know that they're ready. So that's almost like a confirmation that the program's going on. Why would you already have the solutions in place to a problem that they're not even admitting is going on? You know, there's a paradox there. But basically...
Well, the thing is, those paradoxes only exist because one side of the argument is probably lying through their frickin' teeth.
Yeah. And of course, you're absolutely right. But I think that the majority of the establishment are just victims of compartmentalization. They just go along with what they're told to do. I was just following orders, you know, and they're not aware of the big picture. And this is where we can be effective, by informing the establishment of the bigger picture, so that ignorance is no longer a get-out-of-jail-free card.
That's right.
So, you know, so they're left cornered, where basically they're left with a decision. Either I am armed for the genocide, and I hope my family are okay, or I'm fucking ditching the government, and I'm with the majority.
Mm. Oh, by the way, we have an FCC-regulated radio format here, so we're not allowed to swear per se. But it's interesting that you say using ignorance as a get-out-of-jail-free card. I think we should use those who are in the know, who are psychopaths, who do it anyway, as a go-to-jail, go directly to jail, do not pass go, do not collect $200 card.
The house of cards will collapse. The New World Order, those protagonists will go to jail. I mean, you know, those guillotines they got at the FEMA camps, you know, could use it.
Can I run something by you? Now, psychopaths are predators, okay? They have no practical use for people. They always, always lie, always hurt people, kill, cover it up, that kind of thing. There's no actual practical benefit in any part of society for a psychopath, somebody without ethics or morals. At least this is my argument. There have been arguments an article called "The Wisdom of the Psychopath," and it shows you that in business, entertainment, talk radio, so on and so forth, these particular industries where there's a lot of power, influence and control are the places where psychopaths actually go into predominantly. And what their argument is that, oh, these psychopaths are really good for us because they can make these decisions without the clouding of having emotions or ethics. My argument is because they don't have any emotions, because they don't have any ethics, they're too dangerous for society to be allowed to live. Right? This is something that I'm toying with the idea of. Should being a clinically diagnosed psychopath that is of no practical benefit to the human race of any kind, should that be a death penalty offence?
Well, I really can't say. I think that's an interesting question from a psychological point of view.
And it's also a very moral question. It's a moral argument as well. But yeah, I'm sorry. I interrupted. Go ahead.
It's okay. Can being a psychopath, is it set in stone? Is it nature or nurture? And can people learn, like... In my youth, I've been addicted to different things, and I've learned to conquer what I would say is demons. But at the time, there were times when I thought I would never be able to conquer my addictions, but I have. And therefore, you know, I've grown and I've changed my behavior. Now, I don't know enough about psychology to understand whether psychopathic tendencies, behaviours, isn't something that can be managed by self-help groups or whatever. And I'm not saying that the psychopaths like Kissinger and Brzezinski are worthy of these potential efforts to change them. But I really don't know enough about psychology to understand how permanent their condition might be. I tend to feel that I look at society and I realise that narcissism has been it's been fanned, it's been encouraged. Culture has changed. Materialism has been put forward as an important part of our lives, which wasn't always that way. So therefore, I can see that we have more narcissists in society. And I put those in the same basket as psychopaths. They're all basket cases. And I would say that maybe psychopaths are nurtured through society rather than... I don't know enough about that psychology element to it. But I can't really say all those should be killed. But there again, if someone knowingly is... making sure a genocidal plan is played out, then those people really should be facing justice. And whatever the justice states is the right course of action, if it was to have them laid out on guillotines and have their heads chopped off, then that's what it would be. It could be just going to jail. It could be stripped of all their assets. I really don't know.
Yeah, and see, this is what the moral and ethical paradox actually is. How do you rid the planet of those without morals or ethics without losing your own morals and ethics in the process? Right? Because if it's going to be just, if it's going to be fair, then there have to be trials where they will be able to have a defense entitled to a jury of their peers. No cruel or unusual punishment should be dictated or anything of that, so that all things that run our emotional scales, which cause us to hurt, murder, hate, so on and so forth, should in fact be held back, and we should have a greater reservance for whether or not somebody is in fact guilty of said scumbaggery before we leap to conclusions and go, let's go kill them all or something like that. Because I think that what will happen is the person who's saying, oh, let's go and kill them all, will probably be a psychopath who's manipulating the whole crowd to get rid of his competition.
Yeah, that could well be the case. And, you know, potentially, what's the real likelihood? If we are successful in exposing the New World Order sufficiently that the members of the establishment themselves don't want to be a part of it anymore, and what we're talking about ultimately is revolution. I know that we can't raise the pitchforks and get everyone in the streets and go against paramilitary policemen. You know, I'm not suggesting that at all. We need a peaceful revolution where basically we appeal to people's logic and sense of what's right and wrong, and basically reach into the establishment and get them to disintegrate this New World Order from the inside by not wanting to be associated with it anymore. And ultimately, if we're going to build a new society from this collapse of the House of Cards... We can't base that on revenge. We can't base that on the same treatment that we've seen through history, which has been what we know through history is the New World Order in development.
Well, Ireland and South Africa have are now living in relative peace after being ruled under such scumbaggery for significant periods of time. The reason why they were capable of ending those periods of suffering and war within their nations against these factions and what have you is not because they fought harder and won. It was actually because they offered amnesty and forgiveness to those whom were their oppressors. Right, but the whites in South Africa would never give up their power. because they thought that the blacks would get revenge, that they would burn their houses down, that they would kill their wife and children, and so on and so forth. So the black leaders in the civil rights movements in South Africa were talking to the white leadership, just saying, look, man, you just hand over the reins of power. You're keeping it illegally anyway. You're not giving us our vote. You're not giving us our rights. So I'll tell you what, you've got two choices. You can either, A1, give us our power, give us our rights, and in so doing, you can keep your wealth, you can keep your rights, and you will not suffer any reprisal, or you can continue to fight this losing battle, which you're losing day by day, and at the end of it, you will lose absolutely everything. Your choice. And I would like to offer that extension to the elite as well, you know. Stop committing scumbaggery. You'll be able to keep your mansions. You'll be able to live out the rest of your days in peace. But you will have to give up all of your reins of power. Okay?
Yeah, I'm kind of on board with you a lot of the way. But I don't want them to keep their wealth. I think wealth is a key corruptor in their psyche. You know, I think corporations have got to be dissolved, monopolies got to be ended, and even wealth caps introduced globally. I mean, you know, what's wrong with having £1 million or £1 million?
I don't know about that. Because here's the problem. What that does is it restricts freedoms. The only problem with obscene wealth is because those who obtain obscene wealth do so through dishonest means, because they're capable of trumping transparency. If you had a law instituted whereby transparency within business was an absolute 100% unequivocal part of doing business, it wouldn't actually be physically possible to commit scumbaggery and create obscene wealth anyway, because you wouldn't be able to commit crimes and deception in order to do so, which I believe is the main source of much of the obscene wealth accumulated by the elite today.
Problem is,
derivatives trading, for instance.
They've already accumulated all the wealth. The scumbags we're talking about have all the wealth. So if we say, okay, we know you're doing it, just own up and we'll let you off. You know, at the end of the day, they've got all the money. They've got all the power. So there is no level playing field. There is no fairness in that situation. What they're left with, you know, the Rothschild family with trillions of money, you know, I can't see...
Well, do you remember how Napoleon... You remember how Napoleon was like had to live in exile? He was living in relative comfort on an island somewhere, but he had no power and he had no ability to escape, and he was under watch the whole time. What if the elite were simply locked in their one big mansion or something like that, virtually under house arrest?
Yeah. Well, how would you treat someone you knew who was trying to kill everyone you knew?
This poses another moral and ethical paradox. How do you treat ethically somebody who has no ethics or morality?
You know, at the end of the day, don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. We'll be right back.
And gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the bleeding uranium in the mortar? What you know about...
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the second to last segment. You realize we've been here for nearly an hour and a half already, Max. This is what I love about my show. And the reason why I actually like listening to my own show is because it's a lot of fun. You know, I mean, it's like It's perfectly fine listening to ridiculously scary information that makes you want to pee yourself or get to a fetal position, but at the end of the day, it's just not that fun. It's very interesting, sure, but if it's not helping you to deal at the same time as learning the information to deal with it and process it, it's not that good for you, I don't think. It makes me feel really uncomfortable. But at the same time, you know, you can't be all like airy-fairy and only talking about, you know, some kind of, I don't know, it's what I call wiffle bat psychology, you know? Oh, I'm going to hit you with this and hit you with this, but it's a wiffle bat. It doesn't hurt. If you don't feel any real, actual pain, you're not really going to learn anything real. And your life changes by learning these kind of things that you and I talk about, Max, doesn't it? Massively. Everything in your life changes because the realization must dawn upon you at some point that virtually nothing in your life was real in the first place. And you pretty much got to start from scratch.
The rug is pulled from under your feet. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible knowing all this stuff. It's a burden. It's a bereavement process. It's depressing. But, you know, at the end of the day, we also feel optimistic because we can see changes happening, because our efforts are working. People are waking up. It's a massive change going on out there. It's tremendous. It's absolutely amazing. And I would like it if my family would talk to me again one day. I know they will, though. I know they'll get there. What we have to go through, raising the truth, people, friends, family, don't talk to anymore. But, you know, eventually they come back. And I think it's, for me, I don't think this is a long-term thing because our efforts either have to succeed or we're in the trouble anyway. And, you know.
Yeah, actually, that's a good perspective. Here's a good reason to do all of this and lose all your friends and all your family and everything, because they're going to get exterminated along with you anyway. What have you really lost? Nothing! You know, be comfortable that you're going to be exterminated. I am. I relish the opportunity. You know, this is some adventure in your life for once. What do you think? What do you think you're risking? You know, oh, I'm risking my job. Oh, your job? You mean that job that's just going to turn into a slave factory job? Or like some kind of job loading bodies in a FEMA camp into ovens or something like that? Is that what you're trying to save? I don't think people get it.
The whole thing is, you know, what have we got to lose? I've been threatened before. I get trouble. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think, well, you know what? They are trying to kill us. And it's pretty fucking clear once you do the research. So what have we got to lose? They're going to kill us anyway. So, you know, it's better to fight on because they are going to try and kill us.
Have you seen the movie The Replacements? So Keanu Reeves, is a football movie. And at the end of the film, they're like at the playoffs kind of thing. And they're all about to be fired the very next day. You know, all of the team that they took over for have crossed the picket line, and they're gonna go back and they'll be playing the next game. I think Gene Hackman was their coach, and he says, "You have one advantage. There is no tomorrow for you, and that makes you all very dangerous people."
Go and win. That's it. You know, we've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Which is a strange thing for the New World Order, isn't it? Because they could have had it all anyway. They have it all, and they just want more. You know, they just want absolute total control. And just going that step too far is enough to actually push people to the brink. And I think that's what it's going to take for humanity. It's what it is taking. I mean, what a realisation for them to realise being sprayed and with toxins. And in Australia, what are they going to do in Australia? They're going to spray a vaccine against, you know, no one's going to be able to say, yeah, okay, I'll take that vaccine or no, I won't take that vaccine. They're going to spray it into the air you breathe. It's a genetically modified vaccine with bacteria in it, and they're going to spray it from aircraft. Paxvax is the name of the company. So what the hell is that? What situation is that, that people wouldn't want to stand up and say, no, we're not doing it, we're not having it? If they go ahead with it, it's insane.
I was just having this conversation with Sarah the last night, actually. She's really stressed out because she's got to work at her parents' place, and she's got all these gardening jobs and everything that she's doing, so she can't take a day off here or there, so she's really exhausted. And she doesn't know what to do with herself. And I said, look, you've forgotten the most important word in the truther and the free person's arsenal. No. No! Okay? Just no. That's all you need to say. That's the most powerful thing, I think. Going along with everything, saying nothing, going, yeah, 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 all right. That's got no power whatsoever. Saying no. Fracking way. Frack off. No. That is power. That is strength. And I think we've forgotten that because we've been told all the time to obey, obey, obey. But I aim to misbehave. I aim to disobey. And that makes me, maybe not physically, but at least psychologically, free in my own mind. Because I can, in fact, refuse tyranny when I choose to. And that's the power we all have. A power that, sadly, we've forgotten.
Yeah, we need to get it back. Silence is compliance. Do you want to comply? Do you consent to what they're going to do? No way! No! We don't have to, either. And they know that. They know it. I look at an organization called the Solar Radiation Management Governance Initiative. And what that is a think tank organization set up by the Royal Society under direction from the British government. And what that group does is they will set up conferences in like South America or Africa, and they will invite delegates from different countries, and they will try to sell them solar radiation management, which is chemtrails, which is geoengineering, which is blocking out the sun, spraying toxic particles into the atmosphere. So they're pushing it. So I look on their sites for information to find out the latest bit of news that I can pick up to share with people. And one of the bits of information I came across was that they were talking amongst themselves. It was available, I could see it, but it was a memo between people that was on their site. It's not on there now, it's been taken down, but I screenshotted it, I've got it. And basically, they were saying that we have to keep the public informed because they are paying for it. Not they will pay for it, they are paying for it, as in present tense. And the crucial bit was we had to keep them informed because they have the power to stop it. And that's the crucial thing. People don't know we've got power. People don't know that we can all stop what's going on. It's just by realizing what's going on, self-educating, and then all getting together and saying no. And that's the crucial thing.
Well, it's even simpler than that. We don't even need to get together to say no. One person by themselves saying no can really mess up the whole thing. And in history, psych is the only thing that ever has, you know. One monkey wrench brings the whole system grinding to a halt. So it's not like, oh, we've got power in numbers, oh, we've got power in mass awareness. We've got power just in a little pinky, you know?
Yeah. I totally, totally agree with you. I know it's the truth because we can affect change. It's just that we've got to believe we can. And any one of us can do it, and we can, and we are. And that's why I have utmost confidence that the New World Order will not come into play, because we understand it. We know what's happening. And because we know what's happening, we can fight it. We can make a difference.
Mm. I think it's... I'm not 100% sure if you can understand the New World Order per se, because you can understand certain objectives and things why they would do it, but this is what people say a lot, you know, why would somebody do that? Why would somebody spray chemicals on us and would have you, and it's just like, well, the reason why you're thinking that is because you've got something that the elite do not have, conscience. You would never do that, hence you would never understand anybody actually doing it. And guess what the reason is that they continue to get away with it? Because you don't believe that they're doing it, because you would never do it. These people are very, very different from you and I. They have different motivations. They don't have the things that we have. They don't even have creativity, for God's sakes.
No, their plan is very old. They don't really adapt it. They just stick to what they're going to do. And, you know... The thing is, they've conditioned so many people, but like you have pointed out, you only need a small percentage, a very small percentage, to tip the balance and just to turn on the light in this dark times. And that's all it is, really. You know, in a very simple way, we are turning on the light and saying, bullshit, not having it. And they're suddenly they're exposed. You know, it's like pulling the curtain back and you've got the wizard behind doing all the controls and the Wizard of Oz, and that's what it is, really. I mean, it is a big task to try and understand what the New World Order is and to delve into the history and to understand their mindset. You can't, because we're not one of them.
Would we be able to create a university course in conspiracy study? You know, like you have a 3-year course, a bachelor's, then a master's, and then you could be a professor of conspiracy theories, you know? That would be very interesting, don't you think, if there was an actual education program by which people could learn fact from fiction, how to discern particular information, data point collection sets, and things of this nature, how to construct arguments to convince people of the obviousness of the truth, how to minimize speculation and conjecture, these sorts of things. Because I believe, indeed, the entire education system from kindergarten all the way through to higher education, university, professorship, what have you, is indeed indicative of why the system has become such a massive monster, because they get them young, as the Jesuits say, and then they manufacture the minds of the people into precisely the kind of robotic order takers and non-authority questioners that they want. Despite the fact that you've got 20-plus years of indoctrination, with if you go from kindergarten all the way through to higher university education, you can still have a conspiracy theorist or even a couple of them at certain points in your life come on through and discard all of that years and decades of brainwashing. But the problem is, once you realize that you've been brainwashed for 20 years, it takes about the same amount of time, I think, to unlearn what you have learned.
Maybe you're right there. I'm not too sure. I think that we can become vigilant to our minds. I think what basically... it's funny you mentioned about an education course, because some colleagues of mine were working on that. That is exactly something we think is appropriate right now, is to get an online course that everyone can access so that they can be equipped to research the information, get pointers, but also understand how they can research information for themselves so that they can feel, you know, it's authentic. Because, you know, we could present a load of information and, you know, it's questionable where the sources are and everything else. But so we are actually working on something like that. But as far as people waking up, I think there's more elements to this course. There's the psychological impacts of realizing you've been lied to your entire life. Generations have been lied to for their entire lives. And we will go through... It's like Santa Claus lie on steroids. You know, it's that's like the first big lie they get you as a small child is the whole lie from your parents that Santa Claus was real. And then you find out that it's all been a lie, and that shatters your trust in even your loved ones. You know, and funny, Santa Claus wasn't always with us. It was just from the Victorian times when the New World Order was really getting established. I think that people will need to be equipped to understand that what they will be going through to a bereavement process of realizing they've been tricked, deceived, lied to, been tried to be killed.
Yeah. Well, as Mark Twain said, it's a hell of a lot easier to tell somebody. It's a hell of a lot harder to convince somebody of the truth than to. Oh, wait, I fracked that up. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We had a really good conversation there over the break, hey, Max, about this wake-up process. I mean, how did I say it? It was an analogy. Your personality and your perception of yourself is like a loved one. Let's say it's your mother, okay? Now, when you learn about the truth and you learn that all these things that you used to identify with that you think were actually you were actually a lie, your job, your fashion, your music, everything that you used to identify as being part of you, once you realize the truth that it was just all mind control and BS, it's like losing that loved one. It's like being told that your mother is now dead. Your whole world falls apart. You go through this grieving process, and you have to learn to live with the fact that that loved one just isn't there. And what's even worse is the realization that it was never there to begin with. Imagine that. It's like not only at the same time learning that your mother died, but that she was never your mother and was lying to you your whole life. That really sucks. And you go through a grief process, okay? You know, you first there's denial, then anger, and then depression, and then finally acceptance. And after the acceptance process, I mean, then you get your motivation. Because I looked at it like this, Max, is you wake up in the morning. What do you do after you wake up? You normally get out of bed, don't you? And this is the problem I see with the truth movement is they're not taking the analogy full circle. They go, let's wake everybody up, you know, cold bucket of water stars. Hey, well, hold on, you're not telling people to get the frack out of bed and get active, are you? You just focus on waking people up, and they're still groggy, and you're not handing them a cup of coffee or a bowl of cornflakes or nothing. You're not even showing them the way to the bathroom so they can take a wiki leak, you know?
I agree. That's good, yeah. No, education is the key, and we need to offer people a hand to help them up from their stupor that they will realize they're in, and help them lead the way and let them realize that we're coming to the best positive opportunity we're ever likely to be faced with the possibility of a new start, new change. This is... life can be so much, much better without the New World Order and the corporate tyranny that we are subjected to right now. So there's a lot of opportunity. As far as activism is concerned, we are interested in educating people and creating activist groups by letting groups develop themselves, by helping them and directing them and basically growing our concerns so that it's not all up to us, you know, so that everyone starts taking responsibility for themselves. You know, that's the key thing. Everyone, this is the whole thing about the New World Order, is that they have robbed us of our independence over generations. And what people need to do is to go through all those processes you rightly talked about and realize what you're left with is the opportunity for real independence. And that should be grasped. That should be like the best opportunity you're ever likely to have in your lifetime. And, the future just will be so much better for generations to come without the New World Order, without that tyranny that they want to put in place. that I would say that it's the best positive times we can ever possibly have. We're living a few dark times now, but we're right at the end of it.
So, yes. But I think, and even if we weren't right at the end of it, even if the dark times were only just starting, I think actually denial does have a, is a beautiful thing. I live in denial, you know. I live in the denial every day that I'm a slave. I live in denial every day that I can be beaten by the New World Order, that they could come and kill me at any point. I just deny, 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 you know, Bill Clinton style. And what's interesting is that because I deny the negativity trying to overpower me and overcome me, I overcome it just by denying its power.
Yeah, I totally agree. It is all about perception, isn't it? And it's about compliance. Do we consent? You know, and by doing nothing, you are consenting. And, you can change it all just by everyone standing up and just saying, no, no, we're not having it anymore. And that's it, really, in a nutshell. Acknowledging what's really happening, because you can't deny something, you can't say no to something unless you know it's happening. So, you know, you have to do the research, you have to understand what's really going on. But then, you know, once you know and you're equipped, you can say no, not having it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we can all do that. You know, if there's a big protest in Parliament, when the petition goes forward, that gets addressed as one issue. But if those thousands of people individually put their own personal protest forward, they have thousands of issues to deal with. You know, a lot of people don't understand that we are individually powerful. By herding ourselves into a group, that we make ourselves easily manipulated. We have to become our own leaders. We have to become individuals. We have to be responsible. We have to demonstrate we are grown-ups. We have matured. We no longer need the nanny state to tell us when we've done something wrong anymore, because we are grown-ups. We're not going to take it anymore, and if we don't like it, then we have to stand up and say we don't like it ourselves individually. Because if we do it en masse, then we're just one group of rowdy children. And, they just tell us off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big change.
I believe that this is one point that a lot of people miss in the truth movement is actually learning how to live with yourself, learning how to live with your own mistakes and your own faults and your own failures and accepting them. And then once you accept your faults and failures, then you can actually start working on them, because I do see a lot of truthers who are not prepared to admit the darkest or the weakest parts of themselves, and I think this is what like a residual effect that has kind of blanketed us, because we all grew up in a society that told us to think a certain way, and we're still struggling to get rid of those manipulative thought processes that have been instilled in us from a very, very young age. It's almost like becoming a truther, in inverted commas. I think this is kind of a good catch-all term. I mean, a lot of people don't like labels, but I do, especially Nike. And what's happening here is we're essentially gestating like a caterpillar in a chrysalis, very, very slowly. And eventually we should be able to emerge as the beautiful butterflies we actually are, the independent ones, the ones that can't be told what to do, the ones that are capable of saying no, and the ones that will kill you if you try to murder us. All right? And I think that's a perfectly justifiable response. Somebody tries to kill you, you kill them back. That seems like divine justice to me, don't you think? You do something bad to somebody, that somebody messes your life up. You know, I think that would be great, you know. A great society where nobody messes with anybody, because they know for a fact that they'd probably lose their life if they tried.
Like living in fear.
Yeah, but the thing is, living in fear, living in fear of your own capacity to do harm to other people, rather than living in the fear of other people's capacity to do harm to you. So you're living in vigilance rather than fear.
I think it's a good idea to be vigilant all the time and mindful. And I think that's one of the processes we all go through, is learning to master your own mind. I've realized that there are social devices that were developed a long time ago, which I label the isms. And basically, these are social devices that when... whether it's ageism, racism, sizeism, sexism, blah, 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 they all have a prescribed response to us when we're exposed to it. And what we have to realise is that has been programmed into us. And we have to learn to master, is that really the response that we should be having? Is that the way we would like to be treated? You know, it's a little bit like, treat other people as you'd like to be treated. And, you know, at the end of the day, that is such a simple golden rule. You know, treat other people as you would like to be treated. And, you know, if we all were able to be fair and examine our own minds and get to a balanced state, and we could all interact with that balanced mind, I don't think we'd be going around trying to kill each other or trying to profit from each other or trying to win one over and sort of have the corporate materialistic sort of world that's being programmed into people these days. You know, it's not necessary.
Yeah. Well, see, I think that the reason why that is the way things are today is because psychopaths are in control of the power structures of society. They're in control of the religions, the media, the politics, and the business. All right? If you want to control society, control those. Oh, plus medicine and law as well. You know, and as you said, simple rules. Simple rules prevent us all going nuts. How many commandments are there? 10. Okay? How many laws are there? Just tax laws, you know? There's millions. Frick!
Why do we need new laws all the time? How many times do they need a new law?
Yeah. This is why, when I am elected Prime Minister of the world, I will pass 2 pieces of legislation, and only 2. Firstly, the Suppression of Scumbaggery Act, and secondly, the Suppression of Any Further Frickin' Legislation Act. Problem solved! All right, at least I hope so. I could be wrong. In fact, I probably am, because I'll never run for politics because I don't want power over other people because I'm not a psychopath.
Can we change the political system where politicians don't actually have any power?
Yeah. Hey,
couldn't they just be salesmen of policies? Couldn't they just be some guys that come up with the ideas? They try and sell the idea, and we're the one that voted in or not, you know, so basically they've got no power.
Well, we've only got 20 seconds left in the broadcast, but I had this really brilliant thought, and it's kind of like, you know, you say you've got a wristwatch or whatever, and it comes up with the legislation every day, like you're required by law to participate in the legislative process and actually quickly read whatever law they're trying to pass today, and then all the citizens vote on whether or not to do it rather than the politicians. That'll be fun. Max Bliss, thank you very much. We'll see you again sometime, folks.